Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can listen anywhere you have your phone by downloading the Civic Media app. It is free wherever you get your apps from. You can, of course, also join us via YouTube on the Civic Media's YouTube channel and at Maggie Dawn Show on the Book of Faces, Insta, and X. I have a great, fabulous, very reasonable co-host with me every Thursday. His name is Tom Paulswitz, and I've got great and awesome and super fun Just PS on the board. We're having a good time with each and every one of you. The topics might be dark. The topics might be challenging. What's happening may be scary, but we're going to try to do a good time of it here, engaging with each and every one of you. It is important to come together, even in disagreement, spend some time talking about these things. Our topic this half hour, this hour, has been my very real fear, and we're seeing the impacts of this already, that the U.S. government under Donald Trump will basically stop collecting a lot of data. The data that they do collect will be sort of predetermined with a very partisan bend to it. It won't be truly objective, good, clean data measurements. And that how they analyze it will also be predetermined. Project 2025, very explicitly, in a number of different areas, said that scientists and researchers that work for the federal government will basically be litmus tested. We will tell you what the outcome is, and then you will generate bad research to support the outcome that we want. Even a third grader who's studied the scientific method for, 5 minutes knows that that's not how it's supposed to work. And who gets the data? Who gets access to it? How is it used? All of those things. That's what we're discussing. The Atlantic just this week, its cover, CDC data are disappearing. The agency has already removed scientific data from public view. More could follow. Last week,
Maggie, the CDC just published again their weekly report. Missing, though, in the report was bird flu.
Yeah.
Which this administration
decided
that it doesn't exist, or we're not going to tell people about it.
Yeah, well, that worked so well for COVID.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Right. It's not a thing. It
doesn't exist.
It's like trans people. They don't exist. We just won't talk about them. We don't use the word. It doesn't. This is from The Atlantic. Last week, scientists began to hear cryptic and foreboding warnings from colleagues. They were telling one another the same thing. Data on the website were about to disappear or be altered.
Yes.
What they feared quickly came to pass. Here's some of the other things that are missing from the CDC's website. Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System. The Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registries, Social Vulnerability Index, and the Environmental Justice Index. The landing page for HIV data. I mean, it goes on and on. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I have researcher friends that told me in the time period between, like, once people were like, oh yeah, the data might be a problem, as soon as they had that clear thought before Trump was inaugurated, people have been downloading tons of data because they know it's going to disappear. This begs the question, and I want to go to the phones right away here. Who does the data collection now? And I want to tell you all, and we're going to need some double verification of data, right? We need researchers to do it. We need our universities more than ever. Here's what else. We need our local and state governments now more than ever. I was on a call this week that had a few mayors on it, maybe a couple of county executives. and I made this point to them. And I said, please reach out to some data scientists. Look at the data that you're collecting, improve it, improve your data collection methods. Be sure that you're collecting the right amount, that you're preserving it correctly. Milwaukee County, when I worked there as their chief legal officer, we really were of the vanguard of putting out all kinds of publicly available data on these dashboards to let people hold us accountable to see what was happening. It's more critical now than ever. If you are listening, call up your mayor, call up your village board president, send an email to the Evers administration or the governor's office in your state and say, what are you doing to collect data? What is your data collection plan for this administration? How are you collecting employment numbers? I want to know how you're going to do this. You cannot rely on the feds anymore.
Correct.
Let's go to the phones, Tom. Richard from Waukesha. How are you, sir? What do you have to say this afternoon?
Is this for me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I've been listening to you, and I've been seeing this for a while. I was fortunate to grow up with a lot of West Pointers and CIA former people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you study the history from Eisenhower and generation change up to now, it's a progression. You talked at one time about Ronald Reagan, and it's starting to – it's kind of snowballing, and it seems, you know, my father had been a navigator, and why in the old days sometimes you had to navigate by dead reckoning, you know, and you'd follow, you'd follow patterns before you made a absolute decision, and you need technology, but you can do both, and technology has advanced so much. To close the door to the technology is very suspicious.
Yes. To close the door to the data. You know, to the data analysis.
Yeah. More than suspicious.
And the ability to get it. Yeah. It's like minor fascism turning, you know, turning strong.
Yeah. Rick, you put your finger right on it.
Yes.
Right? Like, democracies, in part, rely not just upon true freedom of speech, but our ability to access accurate information, our ability to access not just news, but accurate information and data, our ability to access the research that
ordinary
universities,
people,
yes,
ordinary people having access to that information.
That's exactly what I mean. It requires democracy, necessitates.
Yes.
It is a necessary but not sufficient condition for democracy that you have a citizenry that can be informed. We're dealing with the will to be informed right now. But if they take away the very means, even if we were to restore our collective will to be an informed, engaged electorate, if they have robbed us of the tool to be informed, where does that lead us?
Yep.
Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. We got Tom Paulsiewicz with us. We got Jess P.S. on the board. You're welcome to join this great conversation, 855-752-4842. I say that not to pat myself on the back, no, but because here at Civic Media, we try every day to bring you real news and to engage in a great conversation with each and every one of you. There's two ways that you can do that, via text and phone, 855-752-4842. And there's also a new fun way on this program that's a little special here. We are premiering a brand new segment tomorrow. If you have screamed at your radio because you wish I would just shut up and wrap it up, get to the point, Maggie, I've heard enough from you. I'm sure you felt that way. Then this new segment is just for you. You can send a question in via text, and my good friend Jamie will pick it up. We're keeping a hopper of these. Or you can email it in directly to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And tomorrow, whomever is running the board, and my good friend Jamie, my senior producer, will pick at random your questions to ask me, and they will turn a timer on, and I will only have 60 seconds to answer your questions. So you can join us this third way for this special segment. Tomorrow, our premiere segment at 3 p.m., Ask Maggie with each and every one of you. I only get 60 seconds. Maybe I'll do it in less than 60. I highly doubt that.
Do we get to bet on this? Because I'll take the over.
There'll be a whole sideline in Vegas about, like,
exactly.
Can Maggie answer any questions in 60 seconds?
Yeah, because there'll be 40 seconds of context first, and then
context is... Tom, you taught me that context first before content, otherwise...
It's incredibly important, yes.
Yep. Folks, you're welcome to join us this afternoon. Not wait for tomorrow, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kurt from Madison, sir, you're up next. What do you have to say?
Yes, Maggie, you are guilty, because the longer we're on hold and the more information you give us, the more it becomes difficult to stick to what we were initially going to say when we called into the show in the first place.
But, Kurt, you are so well-read, you are so engaged, that you can speak to any of the topics that we happen to find ourselves in.
So, just real quick sidebar. I went to school for biomedical electronics in La Crosse when I got out of the Army, and it was a practical exam. It was intense. You had to build the circuit board. He'd mess with it. You had to troubleshoot it. I got a D. And he gave me a second chance to resurrect my grade. So we went in, and he pointed. He said, I want you to measure the voltage here. I measured it, and he said, wrong. And it was just a basic DC voltage measurement. And I said, what are you talking about? The multimeter, it's showing you the voltage right there. He said, no, you didn't ask me in reference to what. Yeah. So he puts the ground probe on the other side of the power supply. So instead of being 15 volts, now it's 30 volts. So that lesson stuck with me my entire life. And you can use it across the board in many other disciplines, which you cited on your show today.
Yes.
Both of you did.
Yes.
So when someone makes a comment, and they regurgitate a Fox soundbite, and they really don't understand economics, or they don't understand whatever it is that you're arguing about, especially politicians.
Yeah.
The very first thing you should be saying is, in reference to what?
Yes.
And the reason the Democrats fail so badly at communicating to the people, like the Native Indians of this country, we fail to keep the story going. Mm. We never keep repeating what has happened in the past in reference to what. And if you do that, you force them down another avenue where they have to respond to it.
Yeah.
So that's my viewpoint on it.
Kurt,
awesome.
I love that.
Great
it
comment.
Works even with our discussion earlier, Tom, about
yes.
pro-life. Pro-life
Absolutely.
In reference to what?
What?
Yep. In reference to what?
Fantastic.
I can't believe we're coming up on our last segment of the day. Don't worry, everybody. I will... put a marker down for next week. I'll let you know tomorrow when I'm going to dig deep on how Donald Trump's ethnic cleansing is going to impact you, your pocketbook, and your family right here in the state of Wisconsin. I'll let you know tomorrow when I'm going to cover that topic. But let's stay here because y'all are very engaged. We're talking about what to do when they shut down all of the government data systems, when we stop collecting data, when we stop analyzing it objectively, when we stop sharing it with the American public. And I just want to also say this. Not only should we be asking our research institutions, our public universities to make sure that they are collecting data, because a lot of research institutions have been relying on the data that the federal government collects. We should also be asking our local and state governments. I just want to make this really clear. Relying on the legal system to correct this or fill this gap, relying on freedom of information requests won't work because it takes a really long time.
Exactly. Too slow.
Expensive and inefficient often, and sometimes ineffective.
Yes.
Not what we want to see. We're going to take more of your calls and texts. We might even get a little sports in before the end of the hour with my good friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, with our good friend, Jess P.S. on the board. And I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked and join us. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We go back to the phone and text lines next.